Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge our spiritual growth. Today, we are continuing our discussion on the armor of God.
Ephesians 1 through 3 tells you what the character of Christ has done for us. And then Ephesians 4 and 5 tells us, now this is the way you're going to tell that you're appropriating chapters 1 through 3. Now to activate, it's very simple. We are in Christ. He is our all in all. So he's not telling us that the weapons of our warfare is something that we can go pull out of a drawer or obtain in our own strength. It's putting on him. It's putting on life.
This is Sharon Hoskins. Join Janie Ratzliff and I in this challenging conversation. Janie, our last show, we covered the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet prepared with the gospel of peace. Now, we are at Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, we're going to be talking about these two verses. These are the next three tenets in putting on the armor of God.
That's right, Sharon. And the unique thing about the shield of faith is that it is the one tool that is used to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Yeah.
And a shield is for covering.
Right.
And so how does faith work with this shield? Well, when we join the believer to Jesus Christ, the conqueror of Calvary, the soul will start to rest entirely upon Christ and not upon himself. Faith says, Christ victory, I want to put that on. Calvary is mine. So Satan has to bow to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ defeated him at the cross.
At Calvary, that's right.
Okay. Colossians 2:14-15. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I may have missed a few words in that song, but that is the general gist of it. So Satan's power was completely broken at Calvary. Okay. Romans 6:6 tells us that we also were blessed with that breaking. It happened positionally at the cross before we were ever thought of or ever born. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior in time, then that reality that happened at Calvary, we benefit from. And we have to have that shield of faith if we're going to enter into his rest. And that's Hebrews 4. Faith is a big, not a big word to spell, but it is a big word to implement.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that understanding faith is complicated because it's faith.
That's right.
I'm not supposed to understand it.
That's right. It is something that we accept in trust and knowing what truth is and knowing the person of Jesus Christ. You know, we both sat down in these chairs today and we exercised faith. We believed that the purpose of these chairs would support us in our application of sitting in them.
Right.
And so far it's working.
So far.
Okay. Now let's move on. Now we're down to the helmet of salvation. And the head of the Christian is defended against hostile weapons by our knowledge of the salvation that was won for us by Christ at the cross. And so what does the Satan want to do? He has a special entourage of his forces that want to nullify the work of the cross, that wants to keep it in hiding. And many, many saints take the cross for salvation and then somewhere put it back in their files because the cross gave the benefit of eternal life. The cross gave the benefit of never having to know second death or condemnation. And it's a benefit package, but it's also a retirement package.
Yeah.
But the cross...
It's also a life package.
Yes. But the cross... cost. And it's fine for Jesus Christ to have paid all of that suffering, and it even hurts us sometimes to watch a movie where it expresses the agony that he must have gone through. Can you imagine taking on the emotional baggage of humility and feeling that in your physical body?
Yeah.
And then dying the most humiliating death of hanging naked on the cross as a criminal when you came to save and redeem? I cannot wrap my mind around the magnitude of what must have been going on in the heart, soul, body, mind of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So the helmet of salvation, then, it's a place where we establish in our head our thoughts, our principles, our belief system, our will, our decision to act upon what we know. And that head needs some protection.
Oh, yeah.
So we are to put on the helmet to protect what God has given us through the scriptures.
Now, does our helmet cover our eyes and our ears?
That's a really good question. When you look back at some of the helmets, there was a piece that came down through over the nose, and there was some that even covered part of the cheekbones, but the eyes had to be open to see. Now, you're leading me into a place that I love to go, Sharon, and that is our five senses. Mm-hmm. The eye gate is still there. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the pieces of armor or the helmets in my mind as to historically how they were fashioned, but I would imagine that the mouth gate was probably still ability to open, and that is where the tongue resides, and oh dear God, help us with the tongue.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that we didn't even have some holes in the helmet for the ears so we could hear. If you had earplugs in your ear, you might not hear the enemy approaching.
Yeah. You know, our mind is where Satan, that's Satan's playground. He loves to mess in our mind with different things. So that's why scripture tells us to renew our mind. Of course, that's in Ephesians. What, four?
Yes. and other places.
So, yeah. So with our helmet on, we're protecting our mind from from the enemy's
and then
deception.
Symbolically, what we take in and store in the mind, and again, we store it in the mind, we renew the mind, remember, and we memorize. All of that's functioning of the mind.
Okay.
And so symbolically, then the helmet is there to protect it.
Okay.
So all does right. that
yeah.
give
that
us...
That helps.
So we don't want to go to war without our helmet of salvation on.
Okay.
And then we're down to the sword of the Spirit. And of course, everyone that has studied anything about putting on the armor will tell you this is the only piece of armor that is offensive. Everything else is there to protect us, and we have one offensive piece of armor, and that's the Word of God.
Okay.
And so if that is not just enough exhortation to say, we better be in the Word of God.
Yeah.
If that is the only offensive
offense that we have,
right. that he okay. has given. And if you want to destroy vain imaginations and vain philosophies, then the Word of God, it's not going to tell you whether to go buy a Chevy or a Ford, but it's going to give you the principles. In other words, if you have a certain amount of budget, you probably wouldn't go out and buy a Lamborghini.
Right.
I mean, it will set down the principles right. to you of how you need to live. And then as you have the principles, you'll know how to make the daily decisions. And you don't know which college to go to? Well, you go and look at a statement of faith of what the college claims.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and probably go on campus and maybe see how the student body is living.
Right.
If they're rioting or if they're have a sit-in, then we might wonder how much the professors are effectually communicating the truth of Scripture.
Okay.
So the sword of the Spirit is where we will definitely have a downfall. And, you know, if we have all the other parts on, Sharon, and we don't have the sword, we're not going to make a connection.
Right.
As we talked about, when you dial, you've got to have all the digits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you cannot go into warfare without your sword.
Okay.
And so you said something last week about to have the power of God, that there's really three things that we need to mm-hmm. understand.
To have the power of God, you need to know the precious promises, how to put on the armor to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, and to know, reckon, and apply the work of the cross for us and in us.
That is a great statement. And if we choose to neglect this, then, you know, we're going to come into a false comfort.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have confusion and chaos and an emotional dominated lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And we will remain in the babyhood of Christianity. And there are some dear saints that are 60 and 70 years old that are still taking pablum and taking the bottle.
But do you think that there's some fear there to stand up?
Or fear, but fear of the unknown.
Uh-huh.
In other words, in working with people in discipleship, they would have gone and talked to maybe their pastor or someone in leadership within their church. They've heard the scriptures, but because they don't understand the basic Bible components,
uh-huh.
the foundation that Paul said that no man can lay except Jesus Christ, they don't have access as to how to build a foundation. Have you ever driven around and looked at a new house going up and you see how they have to dig trenches
mm-hmm.
and then they have to pour in the cement with the rebar coming up to establish the strength, and then they have to lay block upon block upon block to get that foundation ready to where they can run some cement
mm-hmm.
across, okay? So you stop and think about what it takes to build a foundation home, and stop and think about what it takes then to build a foundation in our lives for all of eternity. It's hard work.
Right.
But Sharon, you know, we've been talking about all the different pieces of armor and going through them chronological order. But one thing that is a small point, and yet it is a noteworthy point, and that is that many teachers teach that the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the feet shod with peace should be worn continually.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, those are foundational things that are just encompassed in your inner being.
Okay.
And then the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword are to be laying by the warrior's side to be put on at any moment.
Okay.
So then we want to say, when are the moments where we really need to say, boy, I need to get the shield up right now?
Oh.
It was about a 3x5 that covered all the front mm-hmm. part of the body, nothing in the back. It all was moving forward. So I thought it might just be kind of interesting, and you may have some of your own experiences, but the scriptures give us some different kind of examples that I've just capsulized in application on when do you need to grab that shield?
Oh, well, that would be good, because I think that is important. I really like that that visual of those garments being on at all times, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet shod with peace at all times. And then the other things being available as they're needed. To pull up that shield, to put on that helmet and grab the sword and go into battle. So that would be really good to know when to pull those things up and put those things on.
Well, this is certainly not an exhaustible a list, but I've just got a few things here that through my own life and failure and watching others and listening to others. So faith is really needed after a great experience.
Oh, okay.
Because when you've been on the mountaintop, you can't remain there, that experiential high. And so all of a sudden, you're plummeted back into the reality of the valley unexpectedly.
I just had a vision of Moses coming down the mountain with the commandments, and so excited to walk in and see everyone worshiping a golden calf.
Yes.
I mean, we talk about reality hitting you in the face.
That's right. So Satan will be there after a great spiritual high.
Okay.
And we've had some beautiful supernatural gifts from the Lord this last year with the radio ministry and everything. And yet we've also known so all of a sudden to come up and wonder, what's the old song? What am I living for? So we need to be aware that we should not go into despair or discouragement mm-hmm. if there is a sinking feeling or circumstances start to go awry after a great victory.
Okay.
It's not that we messed up. It's not that we misread. It's that the enemy is in there trying to tear down what the Spirit has given and built up.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
And then another time when you wouldn't necessarily think you had to have faith, but it's when you get ready to start a new venture.
All right.
Now, we need to be exercising a diligent measure of faith right now because we are expanding and looking at new endeavors. And some doors have kind of like hit you in the nose. Others have opened up in a way that we go,
wow,
I'm speechless. That's right. And so to use an old card game, you know, we're learning how to hold and when to fold. And the enemy can come in and really bring some emotional false conclusions
mm-hmm.
at a time like this if we're not standing on those pieces of armor that we never take off.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. All right.
So, the other thing that is important is that many times starting on a new path, there's a lot of preparation and obstacles that are certain to rise. And we get overly busy just trying to handle all the new things that are being thrown at us.
Uh-huh.
And so remember when Jesus went through the 40 days in the wilderness?
Yes.
Okay. He was famished. He had a lot of things that 40 days earlier he wasn't having to contend with.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very vulnerable. He was getting ready to start a new public ministry. He had been living in obscurity as a carpenter with his family for 30 years. And now he knew there was going to be a big change up.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
And so when you start to go into a new endeavor, there's going to be many unknown waters that we're not going to be walking. We're not going to know how to walk.
Okay.
And so that shield of faith is going to have to be willing to be up in place so that we don't get discouraged and just say it's not worth it.
Well, and not to get us off of faith, but also knowing having that sword. Because even though that sword of the Spirit is an offense, it's also a defense.
Yes.
And it quenches those fiery darts just as well.
Well, stop and just think about some of the D's of defensiveness that you were talking about mm-hmm. with the shield of faith. It protects us against discouragement, despair, depression, disgruntledness.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably build a whole list of D words that the Word of God is offensive when we are under the gun, but it is also one of the greatest defensive measures against helplessness and hopelessness, against spiritual renewal. That's why to end the day with your mind in the Scriptures
right.
will give you sleep. It's better than most drugs as far as just being able to put you to rest. But you do have to commit everything you read by faith.
Right.
I was reading some last night in the 23rd Psalm, and that psalm is so simple. But when you get in and start to digging into it, it is profound on all the different roles that the great physician and as the great shepherd and how he looks after his people. I was concerned about a couple of issues last night. And as I read the 23rd Psalm and meditated on it, there were all different kinds of application solutions.
Okay.
That started to just arise by reading a psalm that I've memorized when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
And it served, here's what it did. It served as a cure and a defensive measure against any anxiety that was trying to come in or too many thoughts muddling the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Just read through those six verses and talked to the Lord about Him being the great shepherd and how He has to shepherd those sheep. And I thought, why is there an anxious bone in my body?
Yeah.
And was able to go to sleep and sleep like a baby because the word does heal. There was another situation where someone called on an emergency basis and said, I'm in a crisis. And again, we were not able to get together. So trying to explain to her the basic tenets of all of the armor to be able to pick up the sword of the Spirit because mm-hmm. it was hid in my heart.
Right.
And then it was able to be an offensive and a defensive weapon. So I like your idea of, which is truth, that it works both ways.
Right.
And maybe that's the understanding when it says that it's a double-edged sword.
Maybe.
Okay, that it's working maybe. Defensive and.
Because really, if we don't have the Word of God, we do fall for those deceptive lies that even we tell ourselves. It doesn't have to be somebody else telling us a lie. It can be a lie that we're telling ourselves about ourselves. We can be our own worst enemy at times. You know?
Yes. Yes.
And so it is a battle to fight ourselves. You know, when those thoughts come in and those lies start filling our head, to have that, the sword of the Spirit hid in our heart to be able to quench those fiery darts as well.
Exactly. Well, and some temperaments are always anticipating the next shoe to drop. You know, it's okay, that was really great, but...
Yeah, what's coming next?
And I've had people say, why do you always think about the worst thing that can happen? Well, if I've thought about the worst thing that can happen and reckoned with it, then it doesn't take me unprepared if and when it does happen. And that may have a positive aspect to it, but it has a lot of negative aspects to it. So a lot of times we don't move forward because we are skeptical of the future.
Okay.
And the enemy plays that piece to the hilt. And so after you have had, let's say, a great endeavor and victory, you've moved forward with a new mission that He's given you. You're going through the challenges of the unknowns, mm-hmm. and yet He's being faithful to you, but you don't succeed in moving forward because you're so fearful of having to repeat the cycle again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the Israelites messed up. That's why they finally decided, we just want to go back to the leeks and the garlics of Egypt. We'll take our bondage, because they didn't want to go in and fight another round of battles.
Another battle.
Yes. And that I particularly see in people as we grow older, who maybe have lost some of that enthusiasm, and they are like a pebble. They're kind of worn down to a round, smooth stone, and they're not really ready to get up and fight again. But that's when we have to have faith in the greatest measure.
Yeah.
You know, look at Moses.
There's no way I can get up on my own.
That's, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a tendency to forget that Satan is always after our mind for control, how mm-hmm. we think, how we guard our five senses and the gates to our mind. And if we're not trained to be a warrior, we'll finish safe, but with sorrow when we see Him face to face, because we will be affecting our destiny.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Janie, it looks like we're out of time, so we are going to have to wrap it up for today. Will you close this out in prayer?
Father, we do thank You that we can come before You to the throne and find grace and mercy in time of need as an active request to know how to withstand with our armor, not to faint, but to know how to be a part of bringing victory while we are still a part of this earth. And we praise you for what you're going to do and for what you've already done. In your Son's blessed name and for, Father, everything that it stands for, we thank you and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you would like to hear this broadcast again, you can go to sharonhearts.org. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye. Until next time, and God bless.